Are you ready to talk Padres baseball? We've got you covered. Today, we've got Annie Heilbrun and Bill Center in studio, both excited for James Shields to take the mound for the Padres in Arizona tonight.
You know what momentum is in baseball?
It's only as good as the next day's starting pitcher.
You got it.
It's the best. One of the best baseballisms.
As for the audience, we're all excited for another edition of Annie and Bill.
This edition, I mean, it's not what we thought it was going to be, but it has never been boring the whole season.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Annie Heilbrun and Bill Center.
And welcome to Padres Social Hour here on a beautiful Monday afternoon as the Padres get ready to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm Annie Heilbrun, and yeah, I get a great shot right there, Bill, of all the beautiful water over there.
It's
on
gorgeous.
The Embarcadero.
Supposed to rain.
Is it really?
Yes, next 2 days, Bill, starting about 10 o'clock tonight.
I hope that when the season ends, and I cannot believe we're only 18 games away, can I still call on you for my weather report?
Sure.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, supposed to start raining about 10 o'clock tonight.
Everybody listen, because he will be right. 10 o'clock tonight?
Yeah.
And then how long will it last?
It's supposed to be like a quarter of an inch along the coast, maybe heavier in the mountains, but it's supposed to last through tomorrow, early Wednesday morning.
And this is like a tropical rain, the hot rain?
No, this is sort of two fronts sort of meeting over us. There's a little bit of a surge from the north, from the Pacific Northwest, and it's picked up some, it's going to pick up moisture from the remnants of a tropical storm in Mexico.
I just love this about you. In the next segment, we'll have traffic. Right. I just love that you've got an interest in it. You like it. You geek out on it a little bit, and
yeah,
you know your stuff.
I look at the NOAA weather reports every day. It's just sort of like a little.
It's your thing.
Right.
And he's right. I'm telling you, you guys watching, listening right now, get your umbrellas ready because, like, to the dot, Bill is pretty much right.
I got the July one right.
I remember we were in the dugout last week or the week before. You were telling Pat Murphy about some weather, and he had no idea. He had to learn from you. You kept him up to date on it, so it's good.
Meteorology has always been, I've always been fascinated by it.
What I love is if you know Bill, you know he does not tolerate ignorance or people who don't really do their homework and things like that. So I just wonder if you're sitting at home sometimes and you're watching maybe some of the weather casters around the region and going, I need to help you. I need to help you out.
I don't really watch local news that much.
There we go.
I really don't. So, but it's just I'm fascinated by meteorology. I always have been.
All right, very cool. And I, for one, am looking forward to some rain. I would love to get some rain. I think we definitely need it after this heat wave. I call it a heat wave. I'm there in Arizona right now, the Padres, but it's been hot here.
Right.
Yeah, I would definitely say that. All right, Bill, we've got some fun activity to talk about with the Padres or some roster moves to get to. These are our ADP roster moves, and all these happened today. So I'm just going to run through them real quickly, and then we'll go back through them because you know these guys real well, and you'll be able to give some insights on it. So the Padres recalled Robbie Erlin, pitcher Casey Kelly, and then they selected, so they're going to make their major league debut, Jay Jackson, who is a right-handed pitcher, and Cody Decker, who, of course, most Padres fans know, has made quite the name for himself in the minor leagues
right,
with the most home runs and also his fun videos and just a character.
Finally gets a shot at the major leagues, which is well-deserved.
He puts out that tweet yesterday that says, I've been waiting a long time to say I finally can call myself a big leaguer. And in that moment, I mean, if you follow baseball, it's so special.
Well,
it's so cool.
It's even more special for somebody like Decker who's worked so hard for so long. And I got to admit, there are questions about his game.
I saw a tweet from you that said, I'm not sure he's a major leaguer,
right,
but you got to give a guy who's got the most home runs in the minors a chance.
Well, you just got to give the guy a chance because he's fought to get to the level that he's fought at. And there are questions about his game, but you never know. There are scouts that have doubts. There's a reason why he's been in the minor leagues for 6 years. He's a minor league free agent at the end of this year. He can go anywhere he wants to. He's been passed over in three Rule 5 drafts. Oh. Nobody's drafted him. So there are questions about his game, but he's got this ability to endure and hit the long ball. And you never know. You might have a diamond in the rough. It's hard to project from one level to another. Like this year at Double A, Hunter Renfroe struggled. He gets to AAA and completely takes off. Now, it's hard to hit in San Antonio. That has a factor. It's easier to hit in El Paso. You never know what the next step's going to bring.
That is so interesting to me. And we're going to talk to Tim Haggerty later on in the show, who can give a little insight, too, into the Chihuahuas and what's been going on over there and some of those players. But you're absolutely right. I mean, you take a guy like Hunter Renfrow, and you just don't know how it's going to go. And then all of a sudden, he has a surge. And you never know with a guy like Cody Decker if you might have the same thing. I mean, you might have – it might – all he can do is take advantage of the opportunity given to him and just appreciate it. But to think about that, just that many seasons in the minors and always wondering when your shot was going to come. You know, you sort of start watching if you see an injury happen or things like that. You never know your shot's going to come.
Today's the very first day of his career he was even on the 40-man roster, which you cannot
You can't have a shot.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't have a shot until you're on the 40-man.
That's such a big deal. Yeah.
Right. I mean, and – in a month, you better look at him now, because in a month, he's a minor league free agent. He can go anywhere he wants to go at the end of this season. So, you almost have to take a look. You know, it's interesting about baseball, because some guys who struggle at the lower levels, once they get to a higher level where pitchers are actually better and pitchers are around the plate more, they hit better.
Yeah.
At lower levels, they're swinging at everything. But once the pitchers are more disciplined, they're more disciplined. You just never know.
So exciting stuff for him. And like you're saying, essentially he's a free agent, so they've got to give that shot, see what they see in him, see if they can find a spot for him.
And not only that, he deserves a chance.
Absolutely.
He deserves a chance.
There is something about the mental makeup, I think, of guys who have gone that long in the minors and have still produced like he has with the deep ball and have a character to them, a will to fight the adversity and to keep on plugging. And there's something to that when you get called up, and I just think it's a pretty neat moment. So
it's a great moment. I mean, at one time this year, he wasn't starting for El Paso. Mm-hmm. He was coming off the bench. Well, he has endured so much in his minor league career. I'm pulling for the guy, but you also have to be honest. There are questions.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have a position. He strikes out an awful lot. He hasn't hit for average in the minor leagues. There are times they've got him out an awful lot of times, but he's hit 154 minor league homers. He hit 21 this year. He's got power. When he connects with the ball, it's going to go far. And a power hitter's always got a shot.
You see them plugging him in maybe at first or something?
I think they'll give him a shot at first.
Yeah.
They'll give him a start at first, because right now first is sort of a nebulous position.
Yonder's sort of the empty base.
Right.
Yeah.
Yonder's on the 60-day. That if there was any question about him coming back, well, there really wasn't. They said he wasn't going to play anymore this year, but he goes to the 60-day disabled list, which created the roster spot. They had one opening on the 40-man. They needed two for Jay Jackson, who had also never been in the majors before, and Cody Decker. So they put Yonder on the 60-day. That created a second spot. Jackson and Decker are here.
And you don't usually see that. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? With a player going on the DL for like a 60-day thing, unless they need the roster spot.
At this
spot.
Time of the year, unless they need the roster spot, there's no reason to do it.
All right. Okay, so we're going to take a look then at Cody Decker and then as well at Jay Jackson, who has going to be, I'm assuming, right jumping into the bullpen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you may see him tonight.
Okay.
Had a great AAA season. The Padres signed him as a minor league free agent last year. He didn't make the opening day roster, so he was outright at El Paso, option to El Paso. Had an outstanding season at El Paso. Really good season. Throws in the mid-90s. In fact, 95, 96 on his fastball.
All right.
His command has been a problem in the past. It seemed to change a lot this year. Really became a valuable member of their bullpen. So you're going to see a lot of him out of the bullpen over the next 2 weeks.
And some help for the Padres in that bullpen. Some help from those relievers, and I'm sure with that being the end of the year, you can use some of that.
Their bullpen has really been overworked, and it's sort of burned out.
It is. I think it's a little decimated at this point. So they welcome Jay Jackson. And then Casey Kelly, I think he's an interesting story. Last time he pitched with the Padres in 2012, missed the 2013 season and most of 2014.
He had Tommy John surgery early in the 2013 during spring training.
And it's been a struggle to come back.
Well, and he's had other injuries since
then.
So, I mean, he's had strains. It's been a long road for Casey Kelly. Did not have a great year. Came up to AAA right at the end, pitched a little bit better. Robbie Erlin's the interesting one because I think both Kelly and Erlin will pitch before the – I mean, will start before the end of the season. Mm-hmm. One, Donnie, they've shut down Colin Ray, so you're not going to see him anymore this year. They're both going to work in that spot. And Erlin, when he starts, will be the first left-handed starter the Padres have used all year.
Can you believe that?
The first one since he started last year. But you're going to see Erlin had a great second half of the season at AAA. One of the reasons why El Paso made that late run to the Pacific Southern title. Erlin really pitched well at the end of the season.
That's an interesting one to see how that lefty does and how that shakes out for the Padres.
Well, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, they thought that Robbie Erlin had a shot to be a back of the rotation starter, a 4 or 5. And it hasn't worked out, and he struggled with it. He also had some injuries. Did not have a good start to this season at all, and really picked it up the second half.
Do you think there's anything to a guy, he was up last season, going back, working on some stuff, and then having just a different run at it this season, now that he sort of knows a little bit more about what to expect? Or do you think that's a little overrated?
Well, I think sometimes if you send a position player down and he knows he's coming back, that's completely different. They can go down, like when Jed Jerko went down this year. He knows he's coming back. Well, you send a pitcher down like Robbie, who's at the back of the rotation type guy. He doesn't know he's coming back. It's a little bit more of a struggle.
Who are you most looking forward to? What do you think about this foursome?
Well, I really want to see Erlin, and I want to see Kelly, because there's going to be a lot of questions in the rotation next year. If Erlin's turned it around and he's pitching better, and if Kelly's finally getting over his injury problems, there's some substance there at a time where you're talking about you may lose, you know, you're going to lose Kennedy.
Yes.
Ray's now got this question that they probably nipped the elbow soreness in the bud by getting him out of the rotation and shutting him down. But there are going to be openings not only in the rotation here, but depth. In El Paso.
Sure.
And this year they didn't need to dip into that depth an awful lot, but that doesn't usually happen. And I think that, you want to look at both of these guys because they have a chance to start for this team at some time next year.
It's an audition of sorts, right?
Oh, absolutely. This time of the year is all about auditions.
Exactly.
I mean, like, look at Jay Jackson. He's now got a chance, never been in the major leagues, made a major step forward this year. He has a chance to show what he can do in a very short time span. But they got decisions, next month of do we non-tender players? Who do we keep? Who do we let go?
So no pressure or anything, right?
This is
no
a very important time. I mean, everybody in the bullpen's got to be looking over their shoulder right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
Right.
Oh, talk about that. I mean, everyone's sort of hanging in the balance.
Right.
No one's really assured.
No, nobody's assured. I mean, Benoit's going to be a free agent. Kimbrel's coming back. And then outside of that, you're going to have to pick and choose how you non-tender guys because you have a lot of players on the 60-day disabled list that you're also going to have to activate, which is going to cut down those spots in the 40-man. So
it gets very interesting.
It's a very interesting scenario this offseason.
All the moves that they're going to have to make and with the free agents and just how things have gone this season and what they might want to shuffle around. I mean, we'll get into it more later in the show, but I know people are kind of looking at this like, oh, well, they've got the same record as they had last year and things like that, but you also have to understand, in order to make a change, you've got to make a move in some direction. See what works, then adjust, make a move. And I would imagine A.J. Preller is going to go into this offseason looking at what worked, looking at what didn't, and moving pieces and, you know, on the chessboard as he sees fit. But you've got to start somewhere, you know?
And they've got to figure out one of the things, on paper, the Padres looked a lot better than they were on the field. And you've got to figure out, I mean, AJ's got to figure out, why did, say, so-and-so have a bad year
exactly.
when we were counting on him for more?
Exactly.
And you're going to have to find replacements for Upton. You've got to decide where Myers is going to play. You have to decide where Norris is going to play. One of those guys might be your first baseman. Myers might be your corner outfielder if Norris is the first baseman. Or do you go outside and try to find a corner outfielder in the first
yeah.
baseman? Alonso. I mean,
Alonso.
Do you, right.
Is he back?
Well, high batting average. He's going to lead this team in hitting and on-base percentage. But five homers
yeah.
and 30 RBIs for a corner infielder is not what you want.
And a lot of health problems.
Right.
Seems to get injured
for
a lot.
The third straight year, he's mm-hmm. going to finish the season on – well, now you can say he's officially on the disabled list.
Yeah.
So. But the production at first base is not what you want from a major league player. I actually thought that he was going to step it up once his wrist and everything.
Sure.
I mean, good batting average, good on base, but under 200 with runners in scoring position and not a lot of power. And that just doesn't work at a corner infield spot.
Well, it's going to be interesting, as Bill said. There's a lot to look at. Those were your ADP roster moves. ADP helping companies focus on what matters. And I did see a few tweets to you, Bill. People saying, "Well, wait a second. They're not on the lineup tonight. They're not in there." And that's we'll get to the lineup later.
Okay.
But that's very, very
normal.
It's not
unusual
right.
It's not unusual that you bring a guy up and don't start him the first
yeah.
day.
Got it. Usually they're kind of
right.
letting them get acclimated, and sometimes they're
right.
flying in that same day. You just want to let them breathe
a
little.
We're going to see Decker in games because they want to give him a chance to show
yeah.
what he can do. You may see Jackson tonight, and you may see Erlen or Kelly. In fact, you are going to see one of those guys mm-hmm. in 4 days where DeSpaña started yesterday. One of those two guys will be in that spot. My guess it will be Erlen right away.
A lot of interesting moves. And listen, if you are watching or listening right now, Bill is the guy. Tweet in those questions. Hashtag PadresSH. Go to the chat, padres.com/social hour. Ask Bill to predict. I mean, it's more than a prediction. It's not like, you know, you're just pulling it from the stars. He follows this team on a day-in, day-out basis. Ask him how you think it's going to shake out. If you see certain guys at certain positions, he will let you know what he thinks, and it's always interesting. So I'm sure we'll get to more of that later in the show. Pedal the Cause. Help create a world without cancer. There is still time to join Pedal the Cause and raise money for San Diego's cancer-fighting centers. You can ride in the event this weekend, September 18th through 20th, or you can easily donate to the cause. To learn more or register, visit sdpedal.org or text PEDAL to 41-444 to donate today. And I just want to remind everyone that the event on Saturday raised more than $78,000, Bill.
It's great.
So
that
fantastic.
Was
it was
and
so cool.
And that's just the start of it. I mean.
Yeah, that's not even the actual event.
Right.
Like, it's not even, the, you know, that's coming up. So, I mean, just what they did at Petco was just a really, really unique and cool event. All right, we will be back with more. Get those tweets in. Check out our chat. And see you soon after the break on Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour. We are here at beautiful Petco Park on a Monday afternoon. The Padres are getting ready to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I'm joined by Bill Center, and we are just talking a lot of good baseball today, Bill.
Well, let's hope we yeah. see some good baseball.
Either way, we're sending some optimism that
way.
Right. There was not too much good baseball in the last three games in San Francisco, unfortunately.
Yesterday started great,
that first inning, and then of course in the second inning, the home run by Travis Jankowski, I think, was a treat. I think, you know, just to see a guy get his first major league home run, and it was interesting. I thought after the game he said something to the effect of, to be honest, whenever I get a home run, he's only had four in his professional career, three in the minors. He said, whenever I get a home run, it's usually a mistake because I'm such a quick on the ground.
Right. Actually, don't think that that's his game because that's not what you want him doing.
You don't want him getting home runs.
Right. You want him putting the ball in play on the ground, and you don't want him swinging big. You want him using his speed and his on-base ability to get on base.
Yeah.
If he starts swinging, I mean, and that was just a good swing, a good connection swing. But if he starts trying to hit home runs, he's in trouble.
Exactly. And it's just so funny because you don't often hear that, you
right.
know, and so it was
that
interesting
is not
to hear.
His game.
It's not his game. It's not, and he's
right.
not looking for it to be his game.
No,
he knows
no.
what he's good at. But it was funny. We just had that shot up of him, you know, giving the no one's there to high five him and all that stuff. So just a cool moment for him and to end the season with, and a very interesting, a fun year for him. A lot of memories
right.
this year.
The game started with a couple really good at bats in the first inning against
yeah.
Mike Leake and Jankowski at bat too, but
Solarte
triples, and then Jerko gets him home, and then Justin Upton triples, and Brett Wallace gets the double, real nice double.
And all of a sudden you're 2-0.
You're ahead 3-0.
Yeah.
Going into the bottom of the second.
And then it just sort of went away.
Right. Well, Despaigne, the pitch that he threw to Mike Leake, it was just like the three-run homer by the opposing
yeah.
pitcher, that was not a good pitch.
So Pat Murphy, and I'm just going to quote him. I think he probably says it maybe better than we can. He said, Despaigne got off to a good start. He just hasn't been that guy who can throw the ball where he wants to. And he said Darren Balsley had told him what kind of hitter Leake was, and OD threw it right down the middle.
Right.
And it's kind of unfortunate.
Well,
I don't know.
Despaigne now has given up runs in six of his last seven
yeah.
outings, and his ERA over that time is over 14, and it's just not looked good.
Do you think that Friday he pitched? I want to say 46 pitches on Friday
right.
in relief. Did it affect him? Would it have affected him for that Sunday game?
Well, it should have affected him in terms of how long he went.
But it shouldn't have affected the quality of those first
right,
innings, right?
Right.
Right.
I think that he would have been okay for the first and second, and he was almost out of the second and made a couple really bad
yeah.
pitches.
Really a tale of two pitchers for that one, because he comes in earlier in the season. He fills in when Ian Kennedy is injured. And, you know, he starts off the season with a bang, and then it just sort of was very inconsistent
right.
after that.
And it has been beyond inconsistent
yeah.
recently. He
mm-hmm.
just hasn't hit his spots. I don't know quite what's going on, but he's better than he's been. And I don't know. I mean, they say he's not hurt.
Yeah.
But something
seems up.
Something is not going well.
Yeah. It just seems like there's just
right.
been a little too much
right.
that's gone wrong on his end.
The pitch to Mike Leake was not a good pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that moment, you need that pitch to
right.
come through and
well,
execute.
You got two outs. You
yeah.
get the pitcher out.
Just got to get it out. Right.
You walk off the mound with a 3-1 lead, and you wind
yeah.
up walking off the mound down 4-3.
And when you've got the pitcher up there, right. it's just time to get that inning over with and call it a day.
Right.
And
so I'm already yeah. thinking about the scoring of the head-to-head challenge from yesterday.
Who picked? I'm not sure if we even want to get into this yet. But
oh yeah, we do.
Okay.
Right. Seth had Despaigne. I had Brett Wallace.
Oh gosh.
So I want to see that one up there on the couch's side.
When we get to it later, I will
fill
out the standings.
Yeah.
He's got a burn
you.
There. I can already imagine what's coming down the bend. All right. Well, then the bullpen didn't fare much better after that. I think it
right.
just kind of – and, you know, sometimes that just happens, too, in the sense of, look, things just start going wrong, and it just keeps spiraling. And again, Pat Murphy, and I'm quoting him because it's sort of, you know, his honesty is says the whole story, but he said, it seems like everything's going against us. We need to suck it up and just make something happen. And at this point, what else can you do? I mean, what can you tell your guys except, hey, another game, a new day. Let's go out there. Let's do our best and try to make it happen.
You want them to play with energy at least.
Exactly.
I mean, and
they're gonna show up.
Right. And that's one of the strengths that the Padres have always had at the end of seasons. I'm talking under Bud Black Jesse and I were talking about it yesterday. They were the team that played hard through the end of the season, and they would beat up on teams that had a disappointing year and were sort
yes.
of struggling towards the end.
They would spoil them.
Right. And the Padres have sort of become the team that they used to beat up on.
Yeah. Kind of a good way to put it.
Right. Well,
yeah.
I mean,
it's a bad way to put it, but you're right, though. You're right. In years past, even if they were out of it, they would be the spoiler. They would ruin someone else's season.
Well,
you know?
or they would play very good against teams that were struggling.
Exactly.
And right now, they've sort of taken on the role of the teams that they used to beat. I still think it's time you can turn it around. You have to just sort of dig in for these last 3 weeks.
You do, and that's the thing. You know, 18 games left in the season. There is still time to end the season on a brighter note than
right.
what happened the last 3 days
right.
in San Francisco, and that's what Bill's saying.
And that was probably, in my mind, that's the low point of the season.
Yeah, yeah, and so you'd hope that they go out with something you know, above
right.
that, beyond that. All right, Evans Tire. At Evans Tire and Service Centers, buy two select tires and get two free with quality name brand tires in 16 convenient locations. Why shop anywhere else? Visit EvansTire.com, home of the buy two, get two. Bill, there is a very special birthday today, and we're not going to do it justice in these last few seconds with Jerry Coleman, so we're going to get to that a little bit later in the show and
gotcha.
Honor that the way that it should be, but I just wanted to make that known that we are definitely going to get to Jerry Coleman's birthday and wish him a wonderful happy birthday
true
today.
American hero would
Absolutely.
Have been 91 today.
91 years old. We will be right back here on Padres Social Hour. Tweet us, hashtag PadresSH, or join us at Padres.com/Social Hour. We'll be right back.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour here at Petco Park. We are in the Western Metal Supply Building. If you're coming to the team store, check us out. Say hi to Bill and myself. And right now, Bill, we're happy to be joined by Tim Haggerty. He is a broadcaster for the El Paso Chihuahuas, and he's joining us on the Cholula Hotline.
He's also their media guy and everything else. Hey, Tim,
Bill
Center here. How you doing?
Great, Bill. And Annie, good to talk to you again. I think we met in Tucson back in 2013.
Oh, my gosh, I remember that. Great to talk to you. Yeah, that was a heck of a trip. I remember that. We were up there for Yasmani Grandal, I believe, if I have my dates correct. But
that's right. That's why you guys are there. And
yeah.
He was working back on a rehab assignment, but not an injury rehab assignment. But whatever. That's a story for another day.
It is a story for another day, but I want to say that it was a wonderful trip. It was great to be out there and to see how things work out there and the ballpark and everything else. So I want to talk to you a little bit, Tim, about the playoffs and this run that you guys have had. Now, I know the season ended on Saturday to Fresno, but an exciting time and a great run for this team, would you say?
Yeah, it was a thrill. It was really unexpected. The team in mid-July was 9.5 back.
Wow.
So it was a tremendous second half. And then really, even into the final road trip of the season, the team was still in second place. What really helped the Chihuahuas is that they were scheduled to face the team they were chasing, Las Vegas, the Mets AAA team. Went into a late-season series in Las Vegas, realistically having to win 3 out of 4. That's exactly what they did.
To be able to do that, to overcome that, just
right.
a great thing.
And then to close it out the way you did at Reno, I mean, that was really that was really going good. Hey, were you guys, you know, with the way that it was shaping up, with you hosting the AAA championship game at the end of both the International and Pacific Coast League seasons, you guys had to be looking down the road thinking, what if?
Yeah, no question. That question came up a lot here. And in the 10 years since the AAA National Championship game has existed, it's never happened. In fact, it's been rare that the host team has been in the playoffs. So that definitely was on people's minds. You know, the game has been sold out with the exception of some standing room tickets since June. So it really wasn't a matter of selling tickets. It was the people that had tickets. All of a sudden, they're thinking, okay, I might get to go to a Chihuahuas game again.
You know, interesting, the standing room only thing that you come home against Fresno – down two games, and on Friday night, I saw the fact that you guys not only sold out, you had standing room, you sold standing room only seat, not seats, but spots, which says quite a bit for El Paso. Usually, as you know, Tim, at the end of a minor league season, you don't have the promotion. Sometimes the attendance tends to drop off in the postseason. You guys drew two capacity crowds.
You're right. That is unique, Bill. In some cities, because school has just started, because you have your pocket schedules printed, you don't have group sales lined up for a game because it's just a potential game. You don't know if the game is going to occur. But you're right. It became such an event here, and it was so loud. It was incredible. I've been lucky enough to see every game at our ballpark, including the grand opening. It was the loudest that we've ever heard it, the playoff game on Friday night. And it really put the players in a surreal sort of mood after the game. Jake Gobert, who you know was a Padre last year, he said, the only time I've heard a stadium that loud is being a visitor for Tim Lincecum's no-hitter in San Francisco.
Is that right?
I mean, so a guy like him, who's been in the major leagues, comparing a major league no-hit atmosphere to the atmosphere at Southwest University Park in El Paso, what a nice compliment.
Right. Now let's talk a little bit about the players that just got called up today. And what do you think the Padres are going to see? Let's start with Robbie Erlen, who I thought had a really strong second half after a slow start. What do you think of Robbie right now?
You're right. He was somebody I wondered about with September call-ups. He's on the 40-man roster. He was with the Padres in 2013 and 2014. But during the first half of the season, didn't pitch up to expectations, then missed a month with a sore shoulder. But you're right. Second half of the season, he was excellent. He had his best start perhaps in his entire minor league career in that Reno series you mentioned earlier to close the year. In a game that Chihuahuas had to win, he pitched a complete game shutout, which is El Paso's only complete game shutout. So I think he was pitching well at the right time, got the Padres' attention, and now perhaps puts himself online for a shot to audition for a job next year.
Right. Well, he'll be the first left-handed starter they've had all year, and I think he's probably going to start Friday night. So, and then, of course, Casey Kelly, who 2 years into rehab, started the year, spent most of the year at San Antonio, and then joined you guys late. Did he look to have any of his old, his former stuff?
He did, yeah. At times, there'd be quick innings. As you know, he works very quickly at an up-tempo pace. I think Bronswell Patrick, the pitching coach, alluded to the only thing that he was really looking for Casey to work on is sometimes a base runner turns into a couple of base runners where the best pitchers have a way to leave those runners on base, and I think they were working with Casey on really trying to shut down innings and leave runners on. So, yeah, at times with El Paso, he looked excellent.
Now, go ahead. You want to ask him about Cody Decker.
I do. Tim, you know Cody Decker has kind of a cult following and a lot of people on social media excited for him to get that call up. How do you think he's going to do at the big league level now that he finally gets his shot?
Well, the one thing he's always done is hit. I was lucky enough to see all 69 of his AAA home runs. And what a story this is. He was so loved in El Paso, is so loved in El Paso. Mm-hmm. And I hope that he has extra batting gloves and cleats. And here's what I mean. The other night, after the playoff series ended, Cody was the only player out there. It was an hour after the game. He's shaking hands. He's hugging fans. He's taking photos. And he was so swept up in the moment. He'd go back and forth into the clubhouse, and he's handing out batting gloves. At one point, he takes off his cleats and tosses them to a group of fans. So I'm thinking, okay, Cody thinks this is the last game of the year. So what you guys have to do is call up Jesse Agler and Bob Scanlon in the gang and say, hey, does Cody have cleats?
Does he have
great
shoes?
Yeah.
Now, the other guy that they added to the 40-man, who I thought had an outstanding year this year, is the right-handed reliever Jay Jackson, who really sort of broke through with you guys. And I was give me a quick synopsis there.
This is another great story. Jay Jackson pitched for AAA teams in five different organizations, 8 years in the big leagues, or in the minor leagues, and this is his big league debut. Really nice story. Jay Jackson, I thought, was one of the best relievers in the Pacific Coast League this year. I felt he should have been an all-star at midseason. Throws hard. He's somebody that is so competitive. He's the type of guy that after getting out of a jam, he'll yell, he'll punch his glove. He's so into it. He's a passionate pitcher. And he's somebody that, even though he's a little bit older now, he's 27, I think could be a reliever for a couple of years in the majors.
Jay, you know, he's always thrown hard in the past, but he didn't have great command in a lot of places where he's been. What do you think clicked this year?
You know, in talking to Bronswell Patrick, the pitching coach, they said that Jay Jackson in Major League spring training said that he kept the ball up. So when it came down to a roster decision of whether or not he'd be in AAA or AA, for the first couple of weeks of the season, remember, he was at AA, San Antonio. But then when the Chihuahuas had an opening, he got the call up to AAA and just rose and pitched so well that he eventually evolved to be El Paso's closer for the season. From what I understand, his ability to keep the ball low gave him better results than early in the season.
Tim, this might be the sentimentalist in me, but do you get excited when these guys get called up? I mean, you've probably seen so many of them, but do you get kind of a good feeling for them? And you watch them grind every day in the minors, and I would imagine that this is just a great moment for them.
Oh, of course. I think these are the best stories for my job as well, absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, over the past handful of years for Padres AAA affiliates, you could tell Anthony Rizzo was going to be an everyday player at a young age. You could tell Jed Jerko was going to be a major leaguer. But the Rocky Gales, the Cody Deckers,
yes,
frankly, you don't know. They might make it. They might not. And to me, I think those are the most emotional stories of all. I remember years ago, you guys probably remember the name Brian Miro, got called up to the Padres in 2008 from Portland. The guy hit his first major league homer when he was 34 years old.
Wow.
Imagine that.
Wow. And, you know, even we got to get to break here soon, but even Rocky Gale, I mean, just the
right.
the attitude he had when he brought in, and he was just so thankful for that journey, and it was so special to him. And it's just great to – it's refreshing to see that. But
absolutely. And I know Padres executives – I know we have to go, but Padres executives have said that sends a message.
Yeah.
Somewhere there's a single A or a double A player right now saying, okay, I'm a backup this year, but look at Rocky Gale. He's in the big leagues.
So cool. Tim, we really appreciate you joining us here on the Cholula Hotline, and thank you so much, and we'll talk to you, you know, when will we talk to you again? We know that you've got the championship game coming up, and hopefully we can talk to you a little bit after the hoopla of that.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right.
Seth has my number, and always love coming on
Perfect.
With you guys.
We will bug Seth. Thanks so much, Tim. Have a good one.
Take care, buddy.
We appreciate Tim being on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Bill, you know it's getting to the end of the season when I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to see you all again.
It's right.
I don't know if we're going to talk again. Anyways, we'll get back to after the break with more Padres Social Hour. We've got a lot more to talk about after the break.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. It is a beautiful day outside here in San Diego, and it is also a beautiful day to celebrate our friend Jerry Coleman. It is his birthday today. He would have been 91 years old.
91.
What's your favorite memory, Bill? When you think back, I know that's a loaded question.
Right. Well, I mean, there are just so many times where I'd get to the ballpark early, and I'd just drop by. Coleman had his own little booth aside from the radio set, and we'd just sit in there and talk about a lot of different things. And that's the same thing with Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
Just the just sitting down and talking with these guys, not just about baseball, but a lot of things. There were so many things that Jerry was involved in besides the game. I really miss Jerry Coleman a ton.
I'd
love to see his plaque at the entrance over there. I would love to see that move to a spot where more fans could see it.
Very interesting.
Because I think that when you look at the three panels of his plaque as to what he did as a war hero, what he did as a ball player, and what he did for the Padre family as a broadcaster and a community icon, I just think that story needs to be out where it's easier to see.
I could not have said that better myself. And the thing, the coolest thing about his tribute or his we call them plaques, right?
Right.
That he has over there in the statue, is that you can tell the story. I mean, they did it so well in the sense
right.
that, like, you can see the different phases of his life and how he contributed not only as a player but also as a broadcaster and also as a hero, as
right.
a war. You know, I mean, it's you can't get much,
the
much
only,
more descriptive.
No matter how you cut it, the only major league ball player to see combat in two wars.
Very, very special. And I, too, did not know Jerry for as many years as you did, but the few years that I did know him covering the Padres here, I always loved spring training and during the season when he'd have a cup of coffee and you would just see him in the hallways and he always just had a great story
right.
or a great hello. And it was those little tiny moments that you loved about Jerry Coleman. So we wish him a very, very happy birthday. Bill, I'm going to change subjects on you here. And if we don't have time for your whole answer on this, then we'll get to it after the next break.
Okay.
But we did get a question from Jellyman, our friend Jellyman. We appreciate him always writing in here. He asks, Kemp, Myers, Norris, Shields, Ross, Kimbrell, Solarte are my core to build around. Am I close? I'll say them again. Kemp, Myers, Norris, Shields, Ross, Kimbrell, and Solarte. What do you think, Bill? Is it close?
I'd add Hedges to that list. I think Hedges is, if Norris, you know, Norris might be your first baseman, or he might be. I think Hedges is a very important player moving forward. Hedges also gives you the ability to maybe to make a trade with one of your two catchers. I think Hedges is a very important part of that. I think that's very close.
Thank you for that answer. And thank you, Jellyman, for writing in. And after the break, if you'd like to talk about that more, we will. Petco, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Send in those last-minute tweets, hashtag PadresSH, Padres.com/social hour to join the chat. We'll be right back here on Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. We're in the Western Metal Supply building at Petco Park. The Padres, however, are in Arizona getting ready to take on the Diamondbacks for game one of the series. So let's get to that lineup, Bill, presented by United Airlines. United Airlines proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. All right, what do you like, Bill?
Well, I like Jankowski. This is a more traditional lineup. Jankowski's hitting eighth. I still think that eventually they're going to take a look at him in a leadoff spot. Mm-hmm. Jerko, I like seeing him at shortstop. I want to see more of him at shortstop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, an interesting story that Dennis Lynn had about Jankowski and the comparison to Dave Roberts and their prototypical leadoff guy. So I think you're right. I think eventually letting him take that stab.
I just want to see him at the top a couple times this season just to see
how he
reacts, what he does, how he tries to put the ball in play, how he works the count.
18 games left. I do hope we see it. All right, Bill, you got another question. This one's from Ed. At No Nonsense88, we appreciate you writing in, Ed, on Twitter. Of all the call-ups from the minors, both recent and the two earlier, who, if any, will be starters next year? If you had to guess.
I would think that it might be one of the two starting pitchers, because they're going to have some spots to fill, and you never know what's going to happen with injuries. I don't see Decker starting next year. I don't see Rocky Gale starting at catcher. I don't see Alex Dickerson starting at a corner outfield spot next year. Although I could see his bat on the bench. So I think it's either going to be – I think Jackson could find a spot in the bullpen, but that's not a starter. So I would say either Erland or Kelly probably have the best shot.
Interesting. So it makes it – see, that makes it even more interesting as you watch these next few weeks, see how they do, and sort of see, you know, what the coaches and the management might be looking at.
Now, if we go back farther – because Jankowski was a call-up.
I think that's what Ed said, too. If you go back farther, Jankowski very well could be, right?
Right. Jankowski, definitely. So if you go back a little farther, I got Jankowski would be rank my number one.
You have him on opening day next year. You've got Jankowski.
I got him in the leadoff spot.
Salty. I like it. All right. It'll be interesting to follow. And just a great progression for him and someone, you know, even –
No, I don't have him in the leadoff spot because Kershaw is going to be pitching, so they're going to have a right-handed center fielder.
He had to get that in there.
Right.
Of course you know that.
Right.
Of course you've already gotten to that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless they start cranky and then, okay.
And Bill will also tell you what the weather will be on that day, okay? So look to him for all of that. Of course you got that. Join the many Darth Vaders, Chewbaccas, and Stormtroopers. I love this. As they invade Petco Park on Saturday, September 26th for Star Wars Day, come to the game dressed in your best Star Wars costume. Purchase a special ticket package and get a custom-themed T-shirt only available for the first 2,000 fans with a Star Wars day ticket. Get tickets at Padres.com/Star Wars. Bill, you better be in your Star Wars costume. That's all I have to say.
I haven't seen all the Star.
Oh,
I think
gosh.
I saw one.
I'll get on him in the break. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You still need to be in a costume. We'll be right back with more Padres Social Hour.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. Getting ready to close this show and get ready for the game there in Arizona as the Padres get ready for the Diamondbacks. But first, we have, of course, the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. This is where the couch picks a player, Bill being the couch, and Seth picks a player, and whoever has the better game gets a point. So last night, let's look at the standings, 33 for Blooper, 32 for the couch. Blooper is in the lead. He had a comeback. I know he was behind.
He had no chance.
Earlier in the season. So now we pick a player for tonight's game, correct? Am I correct in this?
I get first pick.
Okay. And who do you have, Bill?
I'm taking Matt Kemp.
Oh.
My turn?
Oh, Seth.
Yeah.
Blooper's turn.
Okay. I didn't know if I'm waiting for that. I'm going to go with Justin Upton.
Oh, two very formidable.
Right, formicable.
Bill, two very formidable picks in Kemp and Upton. Bill, who were we sitting with? We were sitting with Josh Stein the other day in the dugout, and there was a word, there was a usage of word that you corrected us on.
No, actually, you used it right.
He used
champing,
it right.
Champing.
Champing. And it's not chomping at the bit. It is champing, champing at the bit.
Right.
Kudos to Josh Stein for having good grammar. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. For Seth, Nikki, Bill, and myself, thanks so much for watching Padres Social Hour. Enjoy the game, everybody.